A 1 minute review. So we've been learning the Vilna Gaon's Perush on Sefer Yonah. Of course, we're going to read Yonah when? Yirtzeh Hashem and Yom Kippur afternoon. And we're trying to prepare ourselves for that by thinking about Yonah's adventures, Yonah's journey, Yonah's struggles. The Vilna Gaon explained to us that Yonah is the neshama, and the neshama's on the run. The neshama is trying to run from its mission. And what's it doing in order to avoid a Kadosh Baruch Hu? It's getting busy with all sorts of confusions of Olam Hazeh, Tarshish, chasing after money, materialism. Right. Last time we learned about conversations between very powerful and wealthy and successful non-Jews and their Jewish counterparts, Alexander the Great. Alexander said, is it better to live on dry land or live on the ocean? Of course, the answer is, of course it's better to live on dry land, because when you're out on the open water, there's a lot of anxiety. But we explained, the Grah explained to us what Alexander was asking, is that if this world is the ocean, and Olam Haba is the dry land, but what if you have an Olam Haza like me? What if you have an Olam Haza that's carefree, that you don't have any anxieties? Right? To which Chazal respond and say, no, it's always better. Olam Haba is always better. We learned the story in the Gemara of Odezar, Bar Sheshach, who was sitting in a Roman bath enjoying Taivas Olam Haza. And now he too was reminded when he said, does it get any better than this? To which he was told, yeah, it does get better than this. You live with a fear that the king at any point, the governor, could at any moment summon you. And in the Olam HaEmes, it's a world of true Menuchas HaNefesh. It's a Yom Shekula Shabbos. And then Bar Sheshach was plucked out of the bath at that very moment. And he tried to curse. He tried to curse, and in the end the curse came back on him, and he had his eyes gouged out. Which again, the Grah interpreted for us, that means that his eyes, right, he thought he had seen everything that a person could possibly desire, but the ultimate thing that we're all looking forward to, Olam Haba, no eye has seen. As the Pasuk says in the Navi, no one's ever seen it. Okay, and then we describe some of the, you know, the battle between the Malach HaMavis and a person in, at the very end of his life. Okay, so now the boat is going crazy. The boat is being tossed and turned on the water, and they're trying to figure out what's going on. The first time we have a Cheshbon HaNefesh. Okay, so we're about six lines down on page 88. Vayiru HaMalachim. The sailors were very afraid. So if the boat is the body and Yonah is the neshama, so who are the sailors on the boat? Who are the sailors on the boat? I guess the sailors on the boat are the various parts of the body that make up the boat. Heim hamanhigim haguf. These are the directors. Who directs the body? Heim hamoach v'halev v'shar kochos. The mind, the heart. They're very frightened. What's going on here? How did this come to be? They're scared. Our boat's about to crack. A person gets to the end of his life and he looks back and he says, How did I live so foolishly? Vayizaku ish el Elohav. And each one of the sailors in the Pashup Shah started screaming out to its God, whoever he believed in, Shitzaku upanu el kesef vizav sha'avdu osam kol yameyam. Right? They tried to look back and they said, well, maybe I can like buy my way out of this. Right? That's the tragic irony, you know. After amassing, you spend your whole life amassing wealth, right? Then, you know, when illness strikes, there's nothing you can do. So they turn, right, the mind, the heart, the limbs of the body, they start screaming out to the false gods that they worship, namely the materialism that they worshipped. She nikru Elohei kesef Elohei zav. They call out to the gods of silver and the gods of gold. So, is there anything here that can save me? Right? Maybe if I have enough money, then I can, you know, I can buy my way out, or I could have my body like, you know, frozen in some science fiction kind of way that it lives forever and it'll never decompose. Right? Try to somehow beat the system. So the body's very nervous because the boat's on the verge of destruction. Or like it says in the pasuk, "Bayomahu yashlich ish elile kaspo." Right, a person's gonna throw down his gods of silver, because he's frustrated. There's a frustration here as he's trying to kaspam bachutzos yashlichu, the pasuk in Yecheskel, ki lo yo'ilu hon biyom avra, Because on the day of wrath, on the day of judgment, you can't buy your way out. When you come to shul on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, right, maybe if you're rich, you can buy psicha for an ila or something like that, but you can't buy your way to the Yom HaDin. Everyone comes before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, vulnerable. V'chein kasav ha-boitchim al cheilam, David HaMelech says in Tehillim, those who trust in their wealth, right, are going to be sorely disappointed. All right, so they're trying to figure out what to do. The body's very nervous. Vayatilu esakelim asher ba'aniya elayam. So what do the sailors do? What happens when the boat is being tossed in the storm? What do sailors do? Sometimes they have to what? They have to lighten the load. So vayatilu esakelim asher ba'aniya elayam. So they start to throw off the various kelim. So how would you read this pasuk? What do you think the Gra is going to say? Right, so maybe it's getting rid of the avodah zarah, getting rid of all those extra things. Even more simply and more painfully, the Gra says yesh lomo kepshuto. Even more so, shezorek me alaguf begadim v'nofel alamita. The guy who wore a three-piece suit to his law office every day, his custom-made three-piece suit, right? Well, now he's in a hospital gown, and he's languishing in bed. And now all of his begadim have been stripped away from him. All the things, all the superficial things that he used to define himself. The begad could be literally his garments. It could be the car that he drives. It could be his fancy house. Now he's in a plain hospital room like everyone else in the hospital, from the richest to the poorest. So he throws off his begadim. The boat, right? To lighten the load. Lahakel me'aleihem. Why is that called to lighten the load, the pasuk says? Me'al he'ivarim shebegadav kvodin alav. Because even his garments become burdensome to him. In other words, when a person faces the truth of his life, at the end of one's life, so you could learn it as like this is like a last minute tshuva. You can learn it more positively. Like finally at the last minute he realizes that all of this excess in my life is not necessary. Umaniach afilu begadav ba'olam haza, and he leaves even his clothing behind in olam haza. Can't take your money with you. You can't take your clothing with you. What's that story they tell about the guy who has to be buried in his socks? You know this story? There's a very, very rich person. He asked to be buried in his socks. He made a big asek. He told his children, that's my main thing. I want to be buried in my socks. A super rich person. And he left his kids a letter. And he said, open it after the funeral. So by the Levaya, I think they were fighting with the Chavar Kedisha. My father wants to be buried in socks. No, that's not what we do. That's not the minhag. That's not how it goes. And they're fighting. No, my father had a whole thing. It was very important to him. He begged us to please be Mekayim his will, that he should be buried in his socks. No, Chavar Kedisha wouldn't allow it. Afterwards, they come back from the Levaya. Hope I'm telling the story right. I'm just remembering it now. And they open the letter that their father left them. And their very wealthy father wrote for them in this letter, as you know by now, I wasn't able to be buried in my socks. The Chevra Kedisha didn't allow it. And I wanted you to realize that even something as simple as a pair of socks a person can't take with him to the next world. The only thing that's coming with you is your mitzvos and maisim tovim. Oh, you want to take your money with you to the next world? So here's an eitzah. You know what you could have done? You could have actually dispersed that money to tzedakah and then turned it into a zchus, and then you could have taken it with you. And that's what it's also alluded to in the pasuk. Right, so the person is sick, and now he's throwing off all of the excesses of his life. He can't even take his begadim with him into Olam. He leaves his begadim behind in Olam Hazeh. And that's what it means when the Pasuk says that he throws it El Hayam Lahakel Me'alav, or Mehakel Me'alayam, the Pasuk says. Right? He throws things overboard to lighten the load. Because again, if the Yam is this world...
Oh, we're doing this sheet.
Sorry. That's okay. It's good to shake your hand this morning. So he leaves, everything's staying in the water. The water represents this world. Right? So your clothing is staying in the Yam. You're not taking with you back to the Yabasha. When a person goes back to the Gan Eden HaElyon, just like Adam and Chava originally were without Begadim, in a perfected state, they didn't even need clothing. So too, the Neshama doesn't need clothing, the Neshama doesn't have to drive a fancy car, the Neshama doesn't need a big house, the Neshama doesn't need any of this. So to lighten the Gzardin HaKosha, to lighten the load, so Hashem allows you to leave behind all of your gashmis. It's actually a big bracha for you. And that's what it means, v'zesha omer el hayam. O omer v'yatilu. You know what else v'yatilu, to throw your kelim to the yam is? Shenosin begadav litztaka. What happens when a person passes away? And the kids say, you know, mom or dad left behind all this clothing. I don't want it. What are they going to do with it? They're going to call up the local thrift shop, or they're going to call, you know, the local tzedakah organization. They're going to say, we have a lot of clothing to give away. It's going to be given away to the poor. Chaval, you didn't do that in your lifetime. You didn't need all of that in your lifetime. You had a closet full of clothing you never wore. Why don't you give it to someone who didn't have? Give it to someone who doesn't have a shirt, have a coat. Right? I told you my great uncle passed away recently. So at the Levaya, my mother's cousin told a story about Uncle Yossi, who's not a person of means. He was not a wealthy person. He was a college librarian, incredibly yashar person. But he was, he told a couple of them just incredible stories of his chesed. A simple Jew who just like cared about other people. He said one time they were driving, and it was a cold day, and he sees a guy sitting on a bench without a coat, and my uncle, yes, he just pulls off the car and gets out, takes off his coat, and gives it to the guy. And his son's like, what are you going to do? Like, do you have an extra coat? No. But he needs a coat. Like, kipshuta, like nothing, like no cheshbonos, you know? No cameras, taking pictures or anything, just like, pasha, give away his coat. No. Just to take care of another person. That's what you can take with you to the next world. Or the time that he was somewhere, and a person who looked a little bit mentally not well came over and said, "Oh, any chance you're driving?" He was dropping someone off. He's like, "This was all in Brooklyn." He's like, "Any chance you're driving to Manhattan now?" So he's like, "Sure, I am now." He drove this person like you know. Because the person needed to go. If that's where you need to go, so that's where I need to go. You know? Push it. So a person can wait until it's all done and you can leave your clothing behind in the yam. Ve'atilu kelev el yam. Right? You can give away your clothing to tzedakah. Or you can try to do it in your lifetime. And therefore, el hayam lahakel me'alayam. Maybe lighten your own load while you're still in the ocean, but you're still in this world. Maybe that's a way to lighten the gzar din hakasha lahakel me'alav. To lighten the midas hadin against the person. Why are you so selfish? Hashem says, I gave you so much. Why didn't you share it with others who needed it more? And where's the neshama when all this is taking place? So the body's going crazy, right? The boat's shaking and tossing and turning. Like we learned in Pasuk Dalet, the boat's on the verge of destruction. And the limbs of the body are nervous. What's going to be with us as the Malach HaMavis is approaching? And where's Yonah? Where's the neshama? Where's the neshama? The neshama checks out. The Yona Yared El Yarkase Hasvina. And Yona has descended to the bottom of the boat. Yona is sloughing at the bottom of the boat. Remember the story? And then the head sailor, the captain of the ship, comes over and says, how can you sleep at a time like this? Why don't you wake up and call out to your God as well? Let's go slowly. The Yona Yared El Yarkase Hasvina. Yona descended to the bottom of the boat. She Yared Hasvina Hanishama El Haraglaim. What's the bottom of the boat? If my body is my boat, where's the bottom of the boat? My feet. The feet are the boat. Bottom of the boat. What's the pshat at the bottom of the boat? What's the pshat at the feet? He quotes from the Tikkunei Zohar. On the Pasuk, it says in Rus, in the third parak, V'tishkav margalosav. When Rus lay down at the feet of Boaz. Feet represent one of two things. Feet can either represent, well, they represent the ability to move forward, but it's a question of which way you're moving. Right? One of the al-chait, we're going to say, al-chait Hashem for all the times that I ran in the wrong direction. Like that famous story when the Berditchever saw a Jew running in the marketplace, running out of shul, you know, wrapping up his talis and tefillin after a 6-minute davening, and he says to him, well, where are you running to? So he says, I'm running to work, I'm running to my parnasa. The Berditchever says, maybe you're running away from your parnasa. Maybe you're running the opposite direction. Run back to shul and daven a little bit. You'll have Parnassa. Where are you running to? So your feet, right? But what he's really alluding to here, this passage in the Zohar, is that the neshama, where is the neshama found in the body? The Gemara addresses that question in Brachos, I think on Daf Yod. Right? The neshama fills the whole body. But when a person uses a particular limb, so it sort of draws the neshama into that area. The feet, the lowest part of the body, represents that my neshama has been dragged down to a low place. And if the malach hamaves, again in our mashal, if the boat's about to break, if the moment of death is upon a person, right, so that means that what? That the neshama is being pulled down to a low place. And that's why it's time for the malach hamaves to come and collect. So sometimes the yonah, sometimes the neshama descends to a low place, to the bottom of the boat, to the feet. Again, there's a lot of Kabbalistic allusions to the feet, the idea of the feet. Vayishkav v'yiradam. And he went, he lay down, and fell into a deep sleep. Imagine the whole boat is tossing and turning, and Yonah is not just sleeping, but v'yiradam. He's in a deep sleep, a tardema. Sheshochev al hamita v'tardema nofeles alav. He's lying in bed, right? And he's in and out of consciousness. But again, it's describing, of course, again, the neshama in those final moments of a person's life. The person who's, you know, who's on hospice, lo aleinu, and life is coming to an end, and the family is standing around the bed hoping that maybe they'll have a chance for the person to wake up so they can at least say goodbye, ki yadua b'yom ha-misa, as is known on the day of death. Or like the pasuk says, v'yihi ha-shemesh lavo v'tardema nafla. Where's that pasuk? Who's that pasuk talking about? The sun set and a deep slumber fell over him.
Avram.
When Avram, by the bris bein ha-basarim, caught a glimpse of all of world history, all of the exiles, all of the darkness, all of the struggles. Right? So Avram also, just like Yonah is a code word for the neshama, Avram, the first real yid, in a sense, the first spiritual seeker, Avram also represents the neshama. Shehu shkia sachama b'or ha-neshama. When the sun sets and a deep slumber overcomes a person, of course, we all pray and hope and believe that there'll be a reawakening from that sleep called Tchiyas HaMesim. When the sun sets, when the neshama runs out of energy and it goes into the deep sleep of death, right? We know the Gemara says, Maseches Brachos, that sleep is the 60th of death. So every time we go to sleep, even a temporary sleep, it's a taste of death. Death is a deep sleep. Or as the Pasuk says in Kohelis, Ad Asher Lo Sechshach HaShemesh Va'ur V'Hayareach. When the sun and the light and the moon have not yet lost their light, right, implying that a time will come when it does lose its light, shehu sila kaneshama v'tardema nafla al Avraham shehu neshama. So when you run out of light, the neshama is mamish glowing inside of you. The neshama has big aspirations, but we get caught up in our own pettiness, our own silliness, our own darkness, and then eventually, it's extinguished. Not God forbid that the neshama is extinguished. Right? But from the perspective of the guf, the light has been taken away. The neshama, ner Hashem nishmas adam, the light of the body is removed, is drawn back. V'chei nikra svina, she krova el hayavasha, aval lemala amar onia, v'pnei shahaya haguf al buryo be'emtza hayam, shehi olam hazer nikra onia. Like it says in Mishlei, derech onia b'lev yam. Again, the Vilna Gaon pays so much better attention than most of us. Why did they change the name of the boat? We started off by calling the boat an Aniya. Now all of a sudden it's called what? A Svina. They both mean boat in Hebrew. What's the difference between a Svina and an Aniya? An Aniya represents like, you know, a really Titanic, you know? A boat that's indestructible. The Aniya is like a cruise ship, you know? A fancy yacht. Right? A svina, a boat, could be like a little raft. Could be something made out of pieces of wood. Right? A svina means a very frail, fragile boat. So originally, says the Gra above, when we first set sail, when Yonah set sail, he found an aniya and he went off to Tarshish. And he was going to become a partner in his law firm. He had big aspirations of Olam Haza. Right? By the end, he's been reduced to just a little svina. His neshama is barely able to navigate itself, you know? Like a person who's older and is schlepping along, like the little tugboat that's just, you know, barely able to still move on the water. Okay? It's intense, no?
Yeah.
It's intense. But that's why we read this on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, as we're getting ready to transition to the Ne'ilah of Yom Kippur, we need to read Sefer Yonah and close our eyes for a second and say, holy cow, you know, I'm a young guy. And like, it's easy to just get caught up in stuff. But like, what's the tachlis of it all? It goes by quickly. Life goes by very quickly, and I want to make the most of it. Vayikrav elav rav achova. On the page it says Vayikra. But in the pasuk, I think it's Vayikrav. Right? The Rav HaChovel approached. The captain of the ship approached. Because Yonah's fast asleep. Someone's got to wake the neshama up. It's running out of time here. Vayikrav elav rav HaChovel, the captain of the ship, who rosh hamanhigim. Which part of the body is the head, the captain? The one that directs the most. Says the Gra. What is it? Vahu alef, the heart. The Rav HaChovel, the captain of the ship. Your mind, your liver, your spleen, your legs, your arms, everyone's trying to wake up the neshama. But the heart, which in many ways is the Mishkan HaNeshama, the dwelling place of the neshama, says, Yonah, we got to talk. Vayomer lo ma lecha nirdam. Yonah, what are you doing? How could you be in a state of tardema? How could you be fast asleep at a time like this? Kamo shehevi bezohar, delays idanhu. Lace, this is not idanhu. This is not a time for sleeping. How could you sleep right now? However, you know the minhag that's brought lehalacha. On Rosh Hashanah, there's a minhag what? Not to sleep. What's the pshat in that minhag? Don't sleep on Rosh Hashanah. There's a big discussion when does it apply. Some people wake up very early at the crack of dawn on Rosh Hashanah. You shouldn't be sleeping once the day starts. Already in the afternoon, once the judgment has been rendered, then you can take a nap after the court case. But what's this idea of not sleeping on Rosh Hashanah? So I'll tell you a new pshat I saw this year. And why you can't, it's just a little tangent, but it's very, very kedai to think about. Why don't we sleep on Rosh Hashanah? I'll tell you. Where do we find someone sleeping in the Torah and then waking up and regretting that he slept? Yaakov. Where? Yaakov goes to sleep. He has this incredible dream. That's also a good example. He has this incredible dream. Yaakov sees a vision of angels ascending, descending a ladder, and he wakes up, and what does he say? He says, I never knew that God was found in this place. Right?
I wouldn't have slept here.
And had I known, I've never slept in such a place. Right? He's very tired. Rashi says he hadn't slept in a long time. Okay. But had I known this was a holy place, had I known I was in the presence of Hashem, I wouldn't have slept. One of the ideas that we have to think about in Rosh Hashanah, and it's a whole shir, but just very bekitzer, because it's an important idea. On Rosh Hashanah, we're a little bit breaking the notion that Hashem is only found in certain places. What does it mean when we say in the Rosh Hashanah davening that we want to crown HaKadosh Baruch Hu, King of the whole world? We're going to say in the Rosh Hashanah davening, Maloch al kol ha'olam kulo bichvodecha. Think about that phrase for a second. Maloch al kol ha'olam kulo bichvodecha. We know every word of tefillah is very precise. Can someone write that sentence better for me? Maloch al kol ha'olam kulo bichvodecha. What word don't you need? Yeah, what do you need? Kulo or kol? Just say, Maloch al kol ha'olam bichvodecha. Kol ha'olam, what's kol ha'olam kulo? So the Levush, in his writings in Halacha, says, take the word out. You don't need to say both. But the Taz in Shulchan Aruch says, no, you do need to say both. You know why? Because we have a rule in Halacha. It's called what? Rubo kekulo. That the majority of something is also sometimes called kol. So what are we saying in Rosh Hashanah? We don't want Hashem to just rule al kol ha'olam, which could mean the majority of the world, the vast majority of the world. No. Kol ha'olam kulo, says the Taz, means what? We want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to rule over each and every nook and cranny of the entire universe. Kol ha'olam kulo. Says the Aruch HaShulchan and many other Sifrei Halacha and Minhag. What's the Minhag? Where does the Chazan for Shachris, Moshe Wolfson talks about this in his farm, where does the Chazan for Shachris begin his tefillos? Where does he begin? Where geographically does he begin? Not at the shtender. Not at the Amud. He starts in his seat. If the Chazan was assigned this seat in the shul, he says, HaMelech, he calls out HaMelech from his, and then he goes up. Why? Why does he have to call HaMelech in the corner? So Tzadikim explained, because you might think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is the spot. This is where God is found. No, I want to declare HaMelech in each and every corner, in each and every place. So why don't we sleep on Rosh Hashanah? Where's the Melech? time the melech's in shul, right? I go to shul, I go to court. The melech is yoshev al kisei, he sits on his throne in court, right, in shul. But at home, you know, at home, not in the presence of the melech. But in Rosh Hashanah, we're trying to dispel that notion. I'm always in the presence of the melech. So in Rosh Hashanah, there's a minhag not to sleep. Why? Because just like Yaakov Avinu said, had I known I was in the presence of Hashem, I didn't realize this was such a holy place. I didn't realize that God's presence was found here. Had I known, I wouldn't have slept there. So by not taking a nap on Rosh Hashanah, what you're saying is, I know, not just when I'm standing in shul on the Yom HaDin, do I feel that I'm in the presence of Hashem, but what? I'm trying to be mamlech Hashem al kol olam kulo. I'm trying to believe that in my house, right, here in my bed, on my couch, or I'm dozing off Rosh Hashanah afternoon, hold on a second, Hashem, I'm with Hashem. I put a crown on Hashem's head today. And Hashem is king of the whole world. Kol olam kulo. It's a beautiful var. Yeah.
Does he mean the king of the whole world every day?
Of course, but in Rosh Hashanah we live with that reality. Of course that's true. Of course that's true.
Should we live with that reality every day?
Go for it. Of course. Of course. Halavai. Halavai. But but Rosh Hashanah is the day where we are coronating the king. That's the day that we're feeling it. Of course, I always want to live in the presence of Hashem. Shivisi Hashem lenegdi tamid. Of course, that's the goal. It's the first halacha in Shulchan Aruch. I want to always be in the presence of Hashem. But if at least one day a year I could live every moment with that hakara, with that recognition, it's Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, halavai. I should always know that wherever I am, Hashem is with me. Also, it's part of the Yom Arichta. There's different reasons for this minhag. This is a nice. There probably are tzaddikim who don't sleep a wink the entire Rosh Hashanah for all 2 days. I'm sure there are. Right? For normal people, okay, you do what you can. But there's again the idea of feeling that I'm in the presence of Hashem in a more pronounced way. Of course, you're always in the presence of Hashem, but to be able to feel that deeply in Rosh Hashanah is a very chashuv thing. Yeah. We say Maloch al kol ha'olam kulo bichvodecha. Maloch, rule over the entire world. Right. So the Lavush says, why do you have to say the entire world? So Taz says, because you might think that kol means rubo kikulo. No. Kol ha'olam kulo. Kol ha'olam kulo. Every blade of grass should recognize the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the right, yeah.
I didn't hear the last words.
Bichvodecha. Yeah, with your honor, with your glory.
And then Shtanis last point, which I also just heard about. What was the last thing that we just said before I asked my question?
Not sleeping on Rosh Hashanah.
Okay.
How would you think of it? Let me know. Okay, so the lave comes, the heart comes to the Yona, to the Neshama, and says, how can you sleep at a time like this? Kum kra el alokecha, call out to your God, just like all the other limbs are calling out to their God. You know, the parts of the body that worship money are at least trying to figure out, can money save me in this moment? So neshama, guess what? Call out to your source. Where is your source? Kum kra el alokecha la neshama omer kum. Neshama, wake up. Realize where you come from. Shemimenu chotzeves. Go recognize, neshama, you're one with God. Right? So you've totally forgotten about yourself. You've tried to numb yourself. You're fast asleep. Hello, remind yourself that you're a chelek elokam imal. You're a piece of Hashem. Ulai yis ashes elokim lanu velo noved. Maybe your God will be responsive and we won't be destroyed. In other words, ki aneshama efshar letakein masha'ein kein haguf. Well, so why is it? Let's ask a simple question. Why is it that the neshama is half asleep and the body is like bugging out over here? The answer is because the neshama, unfortunately, is relying on the possibility of Gilgal. We said the Vilna Gaon is going to speak a lot about reincarnation. The neshama says, okay, so if this life was a failure, I'll try again. But the body says, I don't get to try again. You're going to come back in a different body. Right? The neshama, after letaking, the neshama feels, I have time to work this out. Masha'in kin aguf, there's a sense of urgency. V'im kol ha-shaychem eleho ha-nefesh v'haruach ha-bahamos. They're scared we're going to be lost forever. Now is my chance. It's now or never for me. So neshama, maybe you can have a little rachmanis and try to save our sinking ship. Vayomru Isha Re'ehu. So now the sailors get together and they say to each other, let's do one more pasuk. Hakochos Vayevarim Omrim Zelezeh. The body parts, the components of a person's personality as is right now, they get together and they say, Lechu Venapila Goralos. Let's cast lots. Let's try to figure this out. Bishalmi Hara Hazos Lanu. Why is this happening? Why is Hashem about to take my life? Where was my avera? Ritzonam leida al yedei chet shalmi yatzah gzardin. Where was my weakness in my avodas Hashem? In bechet halashon, was I a big baal lashon haranik? O hama'or, hama'or means the bris mila. Was it my sexually immoral activity that got me into trouble? O sharei varim, was it my eyes? Was it my ears? Which part of me got me into this mess? Let's do a lottery. Let's figure this out. Ve'apilu goralos. So they cast lots. What does it mean they cast lots? Shebeiru asadavar pishpishu. Right? Like a person who's selecting lots is going through, working through that pile of, you know, tickets or whatever, like I did this past Shabbos at parent-child learning. You know, calling out tickets is the best part. I've done it twice in the last like 6 weeks, and both times I picked my own son. I'm gonna get audited. I was like, oh no. And I can see the other parents like scowling at me. Like, you picked Yaakov again? You did it once. We let it slide, you know. Coming for you, Rabbi. So yeah, Piru Goralos. Yeah, so you're sifting through. You're trying to find the winning ticket. So the same thing is true in a Cheshbon HaNefesh. I'm trying to find the losing ticket. Which part of myself is getting me into this trouble? Ayipol hagoral al Yona. Ooh. And who does the lottery land on? Who do the lots? Land on the neshama. Because at the end of the day, it's the neshama. You're supposed to be the responsible adult in this relationship. You're the one who's supposed to say to the eyes, that's not for you to look at. You're supposed to say for the tongue, hey, watch yourself. Don't talk like that. Feet, you're going the wrong direction. At the end of the day, the achrayus falls on the neshama. Ki kashihi tova, as hi mahapeches es kol aguf letova. Because when the neshama knows itself, so it transforms the entire body to make the right choices. Af sheba atzmo chomer mezgora. Even though the body's chomer, its natural state, its mezeg, its natural way of being is ra. As we spoke about, the body gravitates towards negativity. But if there's a responsible adult, namely the neshama who's directing, as the pasuk says in Mishlei, ish oven, a person might be a person whose inherent nature in terms of the body is towards oven, towards negativity and evil, but the neshama can be the ish, be a man. The makom shein anashim hishtadel lios ish, like it says in Pirkei Avos. Ish means a person of stability, a person who has dominance in a certain area. Like Yaakov Avinu is called what? An ish tam. A master of tmimus. Ish means a master. You could have been the master over the body. Shayin neshama nikra ish. You could have been in charge. And what happened? Unfortunately, holech ikshus peh. It's continuing the pasuk in Mishlei. Right? A person goes about with a certain sneaky way with his speech, koyreitz be'enav, winking with his eyes. Who's in charge of that? Who's going to determine where the eyes go, where the speech goes? Vechein amru ba'avos. And like it says in Pirkei Avos, Lev Tov, Shu Mishkan HaNeshama, Kolal HaKol. When Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asks his students, right, what is the main midah that a person has to acquire in this world? And eventually, they, you know, this one says Ayin Tov, this one says a good friend, a good neighbor. Right? In the end, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, Lev Tov, he was right. That's the greatest. If my heart's in the right place, and again, the Neshama is most directly connected to the heart, even though it fills the entire body. If my heart's in the right place, then everything's good. But if the neshama goes to sleep, of course the boat's gonna be destroyed. Everything's gonna be ruined. So have three more lines. Okay, we're just gonna start pasaches. Vayomru elav hagidan alanu ba'asher lemi hara hazos lanu. So they said to Yonah, tell us what's going on here, neshama. What's happened? Neshama was, wake up, man. What's going on with you? Mi anash imcha. Eiza iver ve'eza koach ve'nefesh. Right? Who's going down with you? Who have you damaged the most? Which part of the body have you been the least attentive to spiritually? Which part of your emotional Kolchos hanefesh, have you not nurtured properly? Ma malachtecha, what's your profession? What's your business? In other words, neshama, why were you sent to this world to begin with? What are you doing here? What did you make of this opportunity? Ma umnis nasin lecha Hashem kisheshalach oscha lanu. Why did Hashem put you on this boat? The arm wants to know, and the leg wants to know, and the liver wants to know, and the eyes want to know, and your ears want to know. Every bit of you wants to know. What were you supposed to be doing? Ma malachtecha? What was your job? What was the mission statement? Umeayin tavo, and we'll end with this. Umeayin tavo. Umeiza makom chotzavta. From what place were you hewn? Where were you carved out of? Chotzev is like a lesson of carving out a rock. Right? Where were you chiseled off from? Which rock were you chiseled from? Shal kein tzarech la'asos ma'isim shiyachzor l'sharsho. How did you drift so far away from your shoresh? V'lo me'iske olam hazeh klal. Don't you realize where you came from? You're an entirely spiritual entity. So how did you become enslaved to us? We're gashmias. You were supposed to teach us. You were supposed to direct us. And unfortunately, look what's become of you. So I want to end with the Chassidus of Avard. Nice way to end the shir from the Vilna Gaon. Avard from the Noam Elimelech and Parshas Kedoshim. The Rebbe of Melech. The Rebbe of Melech is the Rebbe of the Mor of Hashemesh. Right? Our Rebbe's Rebbe. Our Grand Rebbe. The Noam Elimelech says in Parshas Kedoshim, Akasha on a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. You know the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, a person should think about the following things, very important to reflect on these things. A person needs to think, Me'ayin basa, where do you come from? Ula'anata holech, and where are you going? V'lifnei mi ata asil litein din v'cheshbon. And who are you going to stand before in judgment? What's the answer to these three questions? The Mishnah says, Me'ayin basa, where do you come from? It's a very harsh Mishnah, third parak of Avos, beginning of the third parak. Me'ayin basa, where do you come from? Mitipa srucha. You come from a putrid drop, referring to the zera for the semen that creates a child. You come from a putrid drop. And where are you going? At the end of your life, where are you going? Back to the dirt, back to the worms and the maggots. Very harsh Mishnah. I come from a drop of zera, nothing drop of zera. And at the end of my life, what's left of me other than, you know, offer of Eifer? Back to the dust, back to the worms. And who am I going to stand before in judgment? With the Melech Malchim, Lachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before the King of all kings. And he's not going to fall for any of your excuses. Very, very harsh Mishnah. The Heilig Noam Elimelech has the following kasha. Listen to the Mishnah again. The way that the Mishnah appears in Pirkei Avos, so you'll look at it with your own eyes. The Mishnah says, a person needs to think about the following things. Me'ayin basa, la'ana taholech, and then the Mishnah repeats itself. Me'ayin basa, where do you come from? A putrid drop. Where are you going? Back to the dirt. Who's going to judge you? A very demanding king. So why does it ask the question twice? Why does it like introduce, you should know where you come from, where you're going, who's going to judge you, and then it repeats it. Where do you come from? Where are you going? Who's going to judge you? Why does it go through it twice? So the Noam Elimelech says a gevaldik thing. Look in the Kedushas Levi and Parshas Kedoshim also. He says, because when you read it the first time, when it first says, where do you come from, where are you going, who's going to judge you, and it doesn't spell out. When it spells it out, it has to spell out the negative side of that equation. But really, it says the questions twice because there's a positive side to that equation. And the positive side is supposed to be so obvious that the Mishnah doesn't even have to answer it. Like exactly what we're learning here. When the body says, Neshama, where do you come from? The answer is not, I come from a putrid drop. That's the body's answer to the question. Neshama, where do you come from? Where do I come from? I come from Tachas Kisei HaKavod. I come from the highest places. And where are you going? Ma malachtecha, what's your mission? Where are you going? What do you mean, where am I going? I'm going to make a dir b'tachtonim. I'm going to make the world a holy place. I'm going to uplift Olam Hazen to bring Mashiach. To bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. Loch al kol olam b'chodecha. I'm going to crown Hashem over the whole world. And who are you going to stand before in judgment? Not a scary king who's trying to get you out. You're going to stand before, what? Avinu Shavashamayim, a loving father. Like Rabbi Akiva. Ashreichem Yisrael. Lifnei miyata mitar, mi mitar eschem. Who's mitar you? Avichem Shabasha Mayim. Not a melech, but a loving father. So the Mishnah goes through it twice. And it doesn't even have to answer, it shouldn't have to explain it to us the first time. Right? It's so easy for us to see the negative. So we think, where do I come from? I come from a terrible place. Where am I going? I'm going to a terrible place. Who's going to judge me? An unforgiving king. Right? But the Mishnah asks the question, no, the Pashup shot, the first time around. We should be able to answer that in the right way. And that's what the body is screaming at the neshama. Hello, neshama, wake up. Wake up. You have tremendous powers. You're an incredible soul. You're chotzav. You were carved out from tachas kisei hakavod. How do you not realize that? Why aren't you in charge here? Why are you sleeping at the bottom of the boat about to be taken back by the Yetzirah? And what, you're relying on what? A Gilgal? You'll get another chance? We don't get another chance. This version of me doesn't get another chance. So why not make it great? It's the Musa that the Neshama is receiving from the sailors on the ship. Alright, so we should be Zocha. We should be Zocha to live these truths. Okay. Shkoyach. To be continued. Be'ezus Hashem.